Kindly state your name.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Well, I think these guys are pretty darn dope.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
What?
A Cow Media station.
Are we on the air?
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon. And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise, La Punta Rica! It's a Honduran connection!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugarland for the Run Over Cancer Happy Hour Series. This is Soccer Matters.
Soccer Matters.
On ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome to Pacific Coast Tacos tonight. Whether you like it or not, you're going to get some radio, and it's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 on the air. Excited to be at this spot. First time I've ever been here in Sugarland. This is a great spot here. We got some air wafting through. We also have the Snowdrop Foundation here, so there's a real charitable element to this here tonight. So we're very thankful for everything they are doing. We got some great guests in-house tonight that you're going to get to see interviewed here live. Show streams at ESPN975.com. 713-780-3776 is the phone number. You can hit me up on Twitter during the show, Glenn Davis Soc. There's a lot going on in the world of soccer right now. When looking at it today, it was tough to kind of siphon out some of the topics and then mix in all the guests tonight. Let's just talk about some of the guests that will be here tonight. Kevin Klein with the Snowdrop Foundation. If you ever wanted to meet a guy who's going to be running in the Arctic Circle, I'm going to let him tell us about this story. But running in the Arctic Circle, hundreds of miles for cancer patients, this is the man. He will be joining me in the second segment here tonight, Kevin Klein of the Snowdrop Foundation. Got a number of their people here, Snowdrop. So snowdropfoundation.org. Davey Arno, the Houston Dynamo assistant coach, he will join us here tonight as well. We got to get the lowdown on the Houston Dynamo. Struggling right now, have only won two games in their last 10. They're in a bit of a trouble here ahead of the Chicago Fire that they will take on Saturday. If you stick around tonight, you might get a pair of tickets or two to the Houston Dynamo against the Chicago Fire. Sitara Murray is a defender for the Houston Dash. They're in action on Friday night. That game is on ESPN News, part of the ESPN package, women's soccer after the Women's World Cup. Sitara Murray will come in here tonight. A very interesting story, played at Liverpool Ladies in England. She'll be on the show as well. And Houston Dynamo legend, goal scorer Brian Ching will be joining me here in a couple of minutes. And we will talk with Brian about all things Major League Soccer, his career, and also about the current struggles the Houston Dynamo are having right now. Tyler Scott, engineer out here back in studio, is our good man Andrew Carlston. Victor Ariza on hand as well. We got a number of topics to talk to. Real quick here, the International Champions Cup is wrapping up around the country. We've seen Bayern Munich and Real Madrid here in Houston. Over 60,000 people come out for that game. Atletico Madrid then smashing Real Madrid in New Jersey, amongst other matches. Attendance overall, though, apparently down. And I'm wondering if audiences in the United States might be getting slightly fatigued by these branding friendlies that don't necessarily have a lot from the competitive side. Not here in Houston, for sure. 60,000 people at Energy. And probably the same for the Rolling Stones this past weekend. People were camped outside of the Bayern Munich Hotel in the Galleria. Bayern Munich came in. They wove themselves into the community beautifully, brought some of their legends along, like Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Lothar Matthäus, guys that have won World Cups, guys that have been the Player of the Year by FIFA. And then they helped launch a free kick program here in Houston, German media giving that attention, which is great for the 2026 bid. The Bayern Munich warm-up kit, when they came out at Energy Stadium, featured the Apollo 11 50th anniversary logo. So Bayern Munich trying to kind of make their way into the U.S. market here in a very nice and subtle way. The Community Shield is on Sunday. Manchester City and Liverpool We can talk about that as well. I got a number of things also on player transactions. But now we're going to bring Brian Ching up here, and we'll talk a little Major League Soccer, Houston Dynamo, you name it. Let's give a round of applause to Brian Ching, the legendary goal scorer. You know what? Andrew Carlson, run an old goal call here for my friend Brian Ching. Okay, you ready? Listen to this, if you can hear this.
Towards the six, Ching goes up the header! The hat trick! Brian Ching has done it again! The Dynamo up 4-3 here in the 85th minute.
Andrew, what year was that? Because that announcer was darn good. Who was that guy?
I have
What's that commentator's name? The goal scorer was better, though. The goal scorer was better. What year was that? Do you know?
I believe 2012. It was a 4-3 against Chicago Fire.
That's a more recent hat trick for you. Huh? That's a more recent hat trick.
I wish I scored a hat trick in 2012.
So goal scorer's mentality.
I might still be playing.
I want this little guy over here to understand what a goal scorer's mentality is. We've seen a couple great ones in MLS now. They're guys that their appetite never stops. You were the same way. Insatiable appetite to score goals.
I think I just wanted to win, to be honest, more than anything else, you know. So I felt like, you know, I don't know if I had the exact right mentality for a striker. I did because I wanted to win, right, and I'll score. But I did what it took once we were up, you know, that I think sometimes, you know, prevented me from actually going for the goal again. So, you know, having said that, you know, I just enjoy winning and scoring goals. And one of the things you have to do as a forward is to kind of forget the last play. And I was pretty good about doing that in my career. Like, it didn't matter if I didn't score in the past 10 games or not. I always went into a game feeling like I could score a goal, make a difference.
He's the former Dynamo striker Brian Ching. He's now, I see, entrepreneur, pitch 25. And, I mean, you took me through there when it was being built.
Yeah.
And that seemed like yesterday. It's hard to believe. It's a couple years down the road now.
It's been unbelievable. A year. You know, I think opening up a week before the World Cup and then having about 2,000 people in there.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that definitely does feel like it's been a couple years. But we're only about a year old. We're about to have our first year anniversary party next month or later on this month. And, you know, it's been a blessing, you know, and I can't thank the Houston fans and people enough for coming out and supporting me on that venture as well.
It's a great spot next to one of our sponsors. I better drop this in there. Jay could get very mad at me. And you and Jay work good together, and you guys are sharing people and customers, and that's Kings Court. And then, of course, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, where the Liverpool supporters groups go. All right, I look at a guy like Josef Martinez and some of the strikers in MLS now. Give me some of your thoughts on your favorites and what you like about them.
You know, we'll just go to the Dynamo. You know, I enjoy Morrow. You know, I think he's done a good job. He's a young guy. He's eager to score goals, and he has the right mentality. I think he's a better player than I was, definitely at that age. You know, I think he can
different, for sure.
Yeah,
different.
At that age,
you sell yourself
short a little bit
too much. You're a very humble guy.
Well, I'm saying when I was his age, right, there was no way I could be doing what he was doing. You know, obviously grew up in a little bit different time, but you know, I think he's for as good as he is at the age he get. I mean, his upside is unlimited, and you know, he can beat people off the dribble. He can get on the end of crosses, and he just has this insatiable goal for scoring. And he's, you know, the thing I like about him, he's pretty humble. You know, he enjoys playing the game more than anything else. And you know, having said that, I like Josef Martinez. You know, that guy just seems like an animal. He's just built to score goals, and he'll do what it takes. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Carlos Ruiz. You know, a little bit more refined, though. You know, maybe not as scrappy. Just as, like, he's scrappy, but not as scrappy, and can beat you in every different way. You know, and for the fact that the league kept him is pretty special, and so he's fun to watch.
This guy came in from Italy, too, and over 30 goals last year, the number one goal scorer, right?
Yeah, and Zlatan.
Yeah.
he's been fun to watch. You know, I think
his commentary
is even better. You know, as a teammate, I don't know if I'd appreciate him very much. You know, but he backs it up, you know.
But we need a little bit of that, don't we, in MLS? We got to have it. We just can't have the hardworking guys who, you know, we do need a little bit of brashness.
No, for sure. And that, you know, and that's those personalities that create the league and create these personas. And it's good. You know, every league has them. Every league has those stars, the guys that pop off, you know. And You know, it's good. But like I said, you know, as a teammate, you know, you don't want your teammate calling you a Fiat.
Which is I would have taken a Fiat.
One of my favorite lines, you know.
I would have taken a Fiat. It beats Donkey.
I'm a Ferrari. These guys are all Fiats.
But it's all, I think most people take it tongue-in-cheek, don't you think?
Yes and no, but I heard he's even worse when he's not on air. So, but you got to laugh about it, you know. I mean, he is pure entertainment, you know, both from being capable of scoring unbelievable goals and then from everything he says off the field. So,
no question.
Hats off to him. He backs it up.
Talking to Brian Ching, the former Dynamo striker, and scored so many memorable goals. You heard the one he had a hat trick there against Chicago, but. And I remember a game winner against Seattle in the playoffs at home at Robertson. I remember the opening day at Robertson, which to me was a big thrill just to see the professional game come back to Houston with a history that goes back to the 60s. Those were great days, and can't talk about those enough. All right, so let's take you into the current Dynamo, because this is problematic to a degree here. We're seeing a lot of similar things occurring here. Same time last year, the team took a dive, a little bit of loss of emotional control maybe. You had guys missing. There's a lot of similarities to this pattern, and that has to be concerning.
Yeah, but, you know, I thought about that, you know, and one of the things back in the day, we'd always start off well. I mean, you go back to 06, 07, 08, we'd always have a fantastic start, right? We build up a good points lead, and then in the middle of the summer, we'd struggle. I mean, this goes, like I said, back to our championship teams. But the thing about those championship teams is that we had enough veteran leadership. We had enough guys that were able to right the ship come the end of the season, coming down to the end, and go on those runs. You know, and I think that's where the Dynamo have been struggling over the past 5-6 years, right? But, you know, I look at it, and I think they have the right makeup, right? They definitely have those veteran guys, the Kiki Shrunas, you know, the Beasleys, the Dela Garzas. You know, that have been there.
Figueroa.
And Figueroa, fantastic. I mean, you look at it, and they built to be able to kind of come back from that, and I thought they did. You know, I was really disappointed in their last loss against Seattle because, you know, I thought when they went down, they lost 5-0 in Atlanta, you know, going down, playing 10 men in Atlanta, tough game. Never expect to lose 5-0, but, you know, write it off. They come back, and they win on the road in Toronto, a good team. So I thought they kind of did right the ship there, you know, and that said a lot about them when they got their win in Toronto, but then they kind of come back and lose, right? So it's like, it's kind of one of those things to wait and see. I think they really have the right makeup. I think Matt did a good job of kind of bringing in veteran players, you know, shoring up the back line over
great
last
year. Great signings
year.
With Matias Vera, great signing with Kiki Struna,
right.
Great signing with Figueroa now.
Right.
How long is his shelf life? That's going to be a question.
Right, and you wonder if some of those guys are getting kind of fatigued in the middle of the summer, right?
The
defenders,
be, right?
They're a little bit older, you know. You would hope that's not the case, and they can kind of rejuvenate and finish off the season strong. And that's what I'm hopeful for, you know, over the past couple of years. That hasn't been the case, and it's been disappointing in that sense. But I think, you know, they should have the mentality, and I think that Matt has kind of built a team with the hopes that these guys can kind of pull them out of the doldrums when times get tough. And, you know, it's going to be a real testament to see if they can do that. It's not easy. It's difficult, and it takes a lot of work because, you know, obviously I know we've been on teams that have struggled throughout the summer and then pulled it together. And, you know, it's a grind, and it's a fight. And it takes a team with strong leadership and strong fortitude that can pull the guys out. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm optimistic, but, you know, based off of our past few years history, you know, I'm saying it doesn't look good.
Last year was
a
rough year. The prior year the Dynamo got to the Western Conference Final in 2017, really buoyed by Albert Elise and Ramel Kyoto. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that when those two guys aren't in the lineup, it's a very different team to deal with.
Yeah, but I think they've done a good job of kind of bringing in complementary players, right? Obviously, you know, we're not going to have the deepest team in the roster in the league, but I think they built the team this year to have that depth and that, you know, which is a little disappointing because you thought they'd do a little bit better throughout the summer. But it is what it is, and there's still time in the league. There's still time left for them to pull themselves out, and You know, and I hope they do. You know, like I said, I think they have the leadership there. I think they have the talent, obviously, but they kind of got to put it all together, and that's a difficult thing to do, and that's where we'll see if the leadership in that locker room can really do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people hoping they can turn it around. I mean, we kind of thought after the Toronto game that, you know, with two games at home, wow, you can bag another 6 points here and really change what everything looks like. And that's the beauty of MLS, though. Look, 14 out of 24 teams are going to make the playoffs, and you win three games in a row, you all of a sudden can change your position dramatically.
And that's one of the great things about the MLS, right? I mean, the league has been, for what, you know, better or worse, it's been very competitive from top to bottom for the most part, you know, where a lot of teams are right in it up until that last date, you know, and it's not like, you know, some of the other leagues where, you know who's going to be up at top. You know, the MLS, every year it changes, right? Toronto's top of the league 1 year, the next year they're not doing so hot. You know, MLS, the same. And that's a fun part of the league. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think they, when I looked at the past couple of years, I thought that this team has potential to be in the playoffs and should be in the playoffs. If, you know, last year they weren't as deep. And they went out this summer and addressed a lot of that last summer or last offseason and addressed a lot of the concerns that they had, and that's why I thought this year, all right, you know, hands down they should make the playoffs. But like you said, the league is what it is, and you know, I'm hoping that they can pull it together and make a run down the end.
Talking to Brian Ching, Dynamo striker extraordinaire throughout his career, scored so many memorable goals for this franchise. Through your lens, how is the league different to you now?
It's a younger...
Let's talk yeah, competitive side, no, first. On the field first.
Yeah.
On the field.
I mean, I think it's the same. I mean, I think the league's always been pretty competitive, right? And I think it still is competitive. I think it's getting a little more technical than it has been. Maybe losing a little bit of the fight along the way, just from my own perspective. But, you know, I think they're... You know, from a technical aspect, I think you look at the Dynamo now compared to what we used to be, I think they are a lot more technical than we used to be. You know, I think we had a little bit more fight, but that, you know, the trade-offs there, whatever. But, you know, I think that we've proved that. I think this team is capable of that. And if they can get that, I think they'll, you know, obviously make the playoffs pretty easy. But, you know, as the league as a whole, I think you look at it and you see a lot more young players excelling at a younger age. You know, the one thing I am a little bit concerned about...
And getting opportunity.
Yeah, getting opportunity for sure. And I think one of the things I am concerned about is, I think, the American players, right? Because it's so easy to go out and get a foreign player and get those foreign player green cards. That is happening a lot, and that's kind of, you know, you're losing a little bit of the American players' opportunities in that sense, you know. And
that's a valid point.
But that's just the way the league is going. And, you know, I'd like to see the league kind of make rules to kind of help with that in a lot of ways. Because I think when you look at a lot of these developing leagues, that's, you know, they're going to go out and get the talent at the prices that they can get them at without competing against the European teams, right? And that tends to be right now, you know, the South Americans, the Central American younger players. But, you know, I think with the development of the academies, and look, the academies have only, I say the infrastructure for getting young American players to professional has only been around for about 5 years, the complete system for all the teams, where you have, you know,
U8s. Some got out to a jump start.
Yes, some teams obviously better than others, but, you know, I think the league mandated that all the teams have all these things, and now they all have, you know, first team, second team. You know, where young kids can get pushed up a lot faster and a lot harder. And then now with the USL, right? The USL, a lot of them are starting to do academies as well. That's only going to help, right? America is a huge country in area, right? I mean, you look at Europe, right? You look at the amount of teams per geographical area compared to the U.S. that, you know, they have way more development and opportunity than we do here in the U.S. But I think, you know, with the development of the leagues and the more teams come into the league, I think that's, you know, that's only going to favor the American player getting better.
He's Dynamo Brian Ching. We're up on a heartbreak. Last one before I get you go. Real excitement up in Austin. 30,000 season ticket deposits in 24 hours. How do you think this will help Dallas and Houston? Because I think we're going to get some great rivalry. That's the obvious one.
I think it's huge because it's where the traveling fans. I mean, you look at how many of our fans travel up to Dallas. How many Dallas fans come down to here, and you just throw another team into that. It's going to be fantastic just for you know, not only for attendance, but atmosphere in the stadiums. And I think that the more regional, you know, you look at the Northwest as a great example, right? Yeah. And so, you know, hopefully we can build that as we, you know, as Austin comes into the league.
How about a guy you played against, Josh Wilkie, named the manager? I mean, this is a guy who's done his time as an assistant and really has worked hard.
I'm excited for him. You know, he's always been a very cerebral, thoughtful player, you know, mm-hmm. You know, to kind of see him bide his time and hopefully get his opportunity. You know, there's that big jump, you know, between, but he's been doing it long enough. So, and I think he's been under, you know, Greg Berhalter for a while now. And then I think, I forget where else he started. But like, look, I played with the guy. I thought he was a tremendously smart player. And if he can, you know, instill that in his team and come in with the right management, I'm happy for him and excited for him.
Brian, thank you for making it out here to Pacific Coast Tacos. I've heard you've been here before, though.
They you made like me the a food. Spam talker yeah, here. You like I'm sold.
You like the food. You like the food. The great face of Pacific Coast Tacos right here. All right, we'll take a break. More to come here. We really appreciate Brian Ching. Let's give him a round of applause here. Quick word here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They're the presenting sponsor. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. A couple of things here that I want to tell you real quick. The 8th annual TRC Run Over Cancer presented by HCSS benefiting Snowdrop Foundation. That's Saturday, September 7th. That's why we're here in Sugar Land. There's 5K, 10K. I'm gonna do one of them. I'll do the kids 1K fun run. That's what I'll do. For those that want to participate but can't attend, there's a virtual run. The event benefits Snowdrop Foundation. Raises money for pediatric cancer research, provides college scholarships for survivors. www.snowdropfoundation.com. We're going to take a break here. It's an Advantage BMW break.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugar Land for the Run Over Cancer Happy Hour Series. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we got to prepare in the same way. We got to continue working on mistakes. Obviously, this game, things didn't work out, and we just got to see film and see what we got to do right in order for us to break down teams whenever they sit back. And, you know, I think we dominated in possession, but sometimes we didn't get anywhere with the ball. But we continue building, and we're ready for next week against Chicago.
That was Memo Rodriguez of the Houston Dynamo. The Dynamo back in action against the Chicago Fire. Coming off a very disappointing home 1-0 loss to Seattle. Only the second time this year they have lost at home. And the Dynamo in a position right now that they need a result against the Chicago Fire. And guess who comes in for the Chicago Fire? Bastian Schweinsteiger, a World Cup winner for Germany. Former Bayern Munich. The man next to me, Kevin Klein, he is a soccer man. He is a co-host with Tim Tuttle at 93Q, the country station. Huge part of the Snowdrop Foundation. We welcome you, Kevin, to the show, and excited to have you here tonight.
Well, I was excited, Glenn, but now I'm, you know, on here with a legendary broadcaster like yourself, and then I got to follow the chinger. I mean, you know, yeah. That's not a real strong – I mean, that's too strong of an act to lead into.
Yeah, we got Davey Arno coming up as well. We got Satara Murray from the Houston Dash coming up. So we have a incredible list of people here tonight, but we are here also on behalf of the Snowdrop Foundation. Snowdropfoundation.org. We just met one of the recipients of
Anthony.
Anthony. Tell me about Anthony.
So Snowdrop Foundation was started by my wife and I in 2006 as a 16th birthday present to a 15-year-old girl who had cancer and was told she wouldn't live long enough to see her 16th birthday. Anthony is part of our Snowdrop Honor Team. So we pair runners with pediatric cancer patients, and Anthony and his runner are here tonight.
Yeah,
and
Anthony, his name is
Robert.
Robert, yep.
Yeah. And Anthony's a soccer player.
Yeah,
he's back on the pitch now.
He's back on the field. Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's going to the Chicago Fire game, by the way, this weekend as well. So the Snowdrop Foundation has done some incredible work here. I'm just looking at all the scholarship money you've given out, close to $2 million. This is absolutely fantastic. We're going to be partnering with you, Curing Children's Cancer Fund, with a big event that we're going to be doing on the 16th.
Yep, August
16th. That is downtown at the DoubleTree Hilton. We have the famous Brian McClaire from Manchester United is coming across the pond to be our speaker. We're over 100 now. We're going to get to 150. There's still information on it. Go to Facebook Soccer Matters. It's a shared event between us and Snowdrop, and it's going to be a great night. All kinds of soccer people there. They're going to be cancer survivors. You are going to be there as one of the co-hosts of the event with the great Tom Clare.
Tom is awesome, man. I can't wait to actually meet him. You know, we've been texting each other and messaging each other, but what a phenomenal guy.
He is an amazing guy, and actually, he doesn't mind me saying this. He's in a cancer battle right now, and we're all praying for the great Tom Clare, the great author as well. All right, so you got this amazing, you know, this is, for people who are in here tonight, you're seeing a guy who's going to be running in the Arctic Circle. It's called A Mission to Deliver Hope. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this run, how you set it up, and then we'll get into your training regime.
Okay.
Well, this is Kevin Klein we're talking to.
Delivering Hope has been my dream run, Glenn. For 7 years, I've been wanting to take kids on my back to the top of the world. We thought we'd do it in June when temperatures on the Dalton Highway are mild, 70 degrees, 24 hours of sunlight. But that really doesn't make any sense because then it just becomes a 300-mile run, and anybody that wants to do that can do that. You just train for it. We have decided to do that in November, run 300 miles from the Arctic Circle to the Arctic Ocean because it absolutely 100% mirrors what these kids with cancer have to fight. There's isolation. When they get their chemotherapy, their immune system's depleted. They get pulled out of their school. They go to the hospital. They stay in their house. 240 of the 300 miles I'll run are serviceless. No gas station, no restaurant, no hotel, no medical facility, no cell phone reception. The hostility of chemotherapy, it burns the insides of patients and the outsides. Well, I'll run in minus 20 degree Fahrenheit weather, wind chills minus 40. There's wolves, moose, Arctic fox, polar bears I have to deal with. That's a hostile environment. We know kids who have had osteosarcoma, had leg bones amputated, legs amputated, arms. If I don't dress properly, frostbite could take a digit, tip of my nose, earlobe, toe. There is the potential of death. 90% of ALL, acute lymphoblastic leukemia patients survive. That 1 in 10, though, is still we need to treat. Well, a freak avalanche could pop up on us. There's no guarantee I'm coming back. We're taking every possible caution to mitigate that. But the reason it's been my main dream run is because I'm going to take a backpack full of kids' names, and I'm going to run them 37 miles a day in minus 20-degree weather to the very tip of our continent, the top of the world, the Arctic Ocean.
Absolutely.
That's how they feel when they beat their cancer. You've been around kids who have rung that
bell.
It's amazing. It's what a powerful feeling.
Yeah.
But in order to show what these kids have to endure, I myself feel that I have to put myself in as close to that situation as possible.
Talking to Kevin Klein, Snowdrop Foundation. He's doing the Mission to Deliver Hope run in the Arctic Circle. You just heard it. I mean, how much planning and preparation is going into this? I mean, what experts are you dealing with when it comes to how to handle this? Because I'm sure you've reached out and you got a team around you.
I will have a U.S. Army medic as my medical personnel. I have a licensed bear protector, which means he is a sniper who is allowed to shoot bear in Alaska should we get attacked. And then we have my logistics coordinator, who at one time worked for NASA and was in charge of physics for getting manned missions to Mars. So I'm in good hands, okay? But the training, we actually went back and looked. We started talking about this and working on it 2 years ago in January. 2 years ago, January. Wow. So, I mean, we've got it's planned. It's going to happen. It's 3 months away. I mean, it's all up to Mother Nature now. The training is happening. I'm up to 80 to 90 miles a week now.
Kevin Klein, Snowdrop Foundation, Mission to Deliver Hope, the run. It's going to be historic. It's dedicated to childhood cancer patients. It's being done in the Arctic Circle. All right, so now I'm going to take you into, and you and I live close by.
We do.
Once we found out and met each other and found out, I mean, this is one of the most benevolent men, him and his wife, going. But benevolent people somehow kind of connect with each other, and I was talking about some others that were in here tonight. But you live very close to me, and in your garage, you have this facility that depicts the conditions you're going to face in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, well, you know, we live in Houston, and there's not a lot of cold weather here at any time.
Can I come over and just sit in that thing?
Yeah, right. Okay. So my wife went and found where we take our dogs, Houston Bark Park. The owner is the owner of Machine Ice Company. She talked to him. He gave us an 8x8-foot walk-in freezer that reaches minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. We have my treadmill in there, and I run in there 3 to 4 times a week, as cold as I can get it. So I was in there 3 hours on Sunday at minus 10.
How do you devise your training regime? I mean, how,
I have
do you
a
know
coach.
It's a hard day, or, you know, is he, he's plotting it out for you?
Oh, yeah. I have a coach. He's a world champion 24-hour racer. 3 years ago, he won the world champion 24-hour with 167 miles.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
based
he's
in Houston? What's his name?
No, he's out of Modesto, California.
Okay. Yep.
John Olson.
John Olson.
And he was the very first person in North American recorded history to run a sub-12-hour 100 miles. 11:59.57 on a track.
Unbelievable.
So I'm in great hands there, too. I mean, I mean, and you know this, Glenn. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'm surrounding myself with some of the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kevin Klein, by the way, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Big soccer background.
Huge soccer.
When he heard me mention the name Lothar Matthäus and Bastian Schweinsteiger coming
Absolutely.
To Houston with Chicago, do you want to go to that game?
I would love to go to that game.
Okay, I'll make sure you and Trish can go to that game.
That's Saturday?
That's Saturday.
Awesome.
You're going to see Schweinsteiger.
We're That's
make,
nice.
We're going to make sure that we're doing TV that night, so we're gonna catch up with you before the game. I have an idea I just came up with right now.
Really?
So you'll come see Schweinsteiger, okay?
I love it.
Okay, and the Dynamo, because the Dynamo need the points.
They need that win.
This weekend we've got assistant coach Davey Arno in here as well. And then we're going to have on a little bit later in the show, Satara Murray will be on the show as well. And we're looking forward to having one of the members of the Houston Dash here. So Andrew and David Nuno is here also from ABC. So
and that Women's World Cup was awesome.
Women's World Cup was awesome.
Were the Dash reaping any benefits of that?
I think so. I think they had a big crowd 2 games ago. And, you know, I mean, the whole thing is to sustain that, I think, you know, after the NWSL. I mean, after the Women's World Cup and the NWSL. Let's talk a little bit about the TRC Run Over Cancer, because I'm going to do that September 7th, 2019. It's coming up, and it's right out here in Sugar Land.
Yeah, we're at Pacific Coast Tacos, and the event actually takes place right out in front of Pacific Coast Tacos, and it's a 5K, 10K. So the 5K is one loop, the 10K is two loops, and you can run it, you can walk it. It's a real family event, and all the proceeds benefit Snowdrop Foundation and pediatric cancer patients.
Well, we come back here and eat tacos at Pacific Coast Tacos.
They give us breakfast tacos before the run.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm
going to claim it right now. I'm doing 6 breakfast tacos, and I'm going to do the run.
One for each mile. There you go.
Kevin Klein joining us here as we continue to talk about the great Snowdrop Foundation, snowdropfoundation.org. Mentally, where are you at with this run? Because it's getting closer. I mean, this is serious. This is a lot of this is mental as well.
All of it is mental. You know, I mean, the run is just the run, okay? And if I had to just worry about that, I wouldn't be that concerned. We've run far distances before.
Yeah.
But when you take all of the elements that we're going to be facing, all of the unknowns that we're going to be facing, I mean, it freaks me out every day, Glenn. It freaks me out every day.
How does your wife, Trish, feel about this?
She is incredibly supportive. She knows that this is the dream run, and she's 1,000% behind it. But any loved one that's been put in a dangerous situation, she's... You know, obviously she's as nervous as I am.
Yeah.
I'm not really nervous.
No,
for
you
my,
got me nervous.
And well, I'm not as nervous for myself as I am for my crew. You know, I mean, I want to do this. They feel like they have to do it because they love me so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm concerned more about them than I am myself. But, you know, when you think about it, and you've been around Texas Children's Cancer Center, you've seen these kids. Nothing will experience even.
We were there last Friday and you know, you leave there and you just, you know, you go home that night, you wake up in the middle of the night and you see the face of one of the kids.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And I'm never going to stop going down there handing out soccer balls.
Well, the kid that I did my training run for yesterday, he is going through renal failure. He has cancer, going through renal failure. He has iron deposits around his liver, his spleen, his kidney. The good news he got today, he's not in heart failure. That's good news?
That's good news, yeah.
I mean, that's the good news that you have to look forward to? That's why we're doing what we do, and that's why Snowdrop Foundation exists. Delivering Hope is the name of the run. You can go to deliveringhoperun.org. We call it Delivering Hope for 4 reasons. Do we have time to share that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
the
run ends at the United States Postal Service office in Dead Horse, Alaska. The Postal Service delivers. We are endeavoring to raise $200,000+ to deliver the hope of at least a better treatment, if not one day a cure. If we are successful in this run, we will be the first person in recorded history to ever do this run. We have been told it's impossible. We have told it's a suicide mission. Well, as we defied the odds and did this successfully, we are showing kids that no matter what stage cancer they're diagnosed, they too can defy the odds.
Absolutely.
And then finally, the Delivering Hope ends at 8.05 a.m. Central Time on November 24th, the exact moment I turn 50. So instead of the birthday boy getting the gifts, we're delivering hope, courage, and love.
incredible.
A lot of planning went into this.
It just takes my breath away.
Thanks.
The passion, the risk, the desire to promote, the desire to do it for others and create awareness, which you've done a remarkable job. And, I mean, I'm looking at all the scholarships you give out. It's absolutely incredible. And, by the way, we have other cancer survivors in here.
We have a couple in this room,
and Eileen Dowd's one of them. We're going to talk to her a little later. She comes with me down to the hospital to hand out soccer balls. And when I introduce her and say, this is a cancer survivor who was treated here, the eyes of everybody, the parents and kids, get just so big. Snowdrop Delivering Hope. Kevin, you are a true, true benefit to mankind.
I appreciate that, Glenn.
I'm glad I crossed paths with you, and thank you so much for coming out here tonight on behalf of the Snowdrop Foundation
and on
the mission to deliver hope run.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
right.
Glenn.
That's Kevin Kline. You can also listen to him every morning. What time do you want every morning?
5 to 10.
And by the way, how was I as a co-host on Country Radio? Do I have a future?
You do. I told my boss.
If the soccer thing doesn't work out, I can...
I told you my boss loved you. He said, man, he goes, he's a soccer guy? I'm like, yeah. He goes, he's a broadcaster. I'm like, no, that's what he does, too. You're awesome, buddy.
That's hilarious. I know you made that up, too.
I did not.
All right, round of applause for Kevin Kline and the Snowdrop Foundation. We really appreciate Trish and Kevin. And, of course, a big thank you to Andrew Kapalski, who is the guy who really organized this event along with Pacific Coast Tacos. Before we go to break here, a quick word here for Advantage BMW. I was just down there today because it's lease time for me. I got to trade my car in. I'm down there with Justin. Advantage BMW Midtown does it all. They'll take you from the process of picking out the vehicle you want, sales, service, finance. It's done so easy. It's BMWHouston.com. Get down there. Say hello to Philip. Say hello to Justin. I'm going down there tomorrow again. We did a live show at BMW Midtown recently as well. When we come back, time for a visit with Sitara Murray of the Houston Dash. All right, Sitara's right over here to my left. So we're going to get some Dash love going on here as they have a game on Friday night. They take on Reign FC. That game is on ESPN here in Houston. All right, Kevin Kline will exit. Sitara Murray will come over.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugarland for the Run Over Cancer Happy Hour Series. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Daly, into the area. Daly, shot, and that one's going to find the top corner for the first goal of the evening for the Houston Dash, coming from Rachel Daly.
And that was the Houston Dash, the 1-0 game winner. Rachel Daly getting that after coming back from the World Cup playing for England, getting to the semifinals. It's sixth place out of ninth in the NWSL now for the Dash. They needed that one over Sky Blue. They got it this past weekend. Friday they will take on Reign FC. That game's on ESPN. Better yet, get down to the stadium because you can see someone like Sitara Murray, a defender with the Houston Dash, who joins me now. Sitara, thank you very much for getting out here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your career today and having watched you play for the Dash. Interesting, you're born in Brooklyn. You end up going to Austin, Texas, playing for Lone Star, the soccer club. And then all of a sudden, you're at the University of North Carolina in that legendary program. Tell me how Anson Dorrance, the legendary coach, found you.
Anson actually never saw me play until probably I got to college. I'm not going to lie. It was actually Chris Dukar, who is the goalkeeper coach and also the kind of recruiter for UNC, that saw me play. And I heard when I got there that they actually were looking at me when I was about 14. So everything kind of happened a bit quickly. Committing there at 15, kind of knowing what university I was going to at that age, it kind of took a weight off of my shoulders. But when I got there in 2011, the rest is history. It was a great, great experience.
Yeah, what was it like playing for that legendary coach in a program that you knew? Christine Lilly had come through, Mia Hamm, all the names that are just, icons in the history of not only North Carolina soccer, but U.S. soccer.
Yeah, there's so much rich history behind that program. I think not just looking at the program itself, but looking at the institution at UNC itself. There's so much history behind it. When I'm going in there, obviously you know the ins and outs of it, but actually putting on that Carolina blue jersey, it's a completely different feeling. I think it's something that you can't really describe unless you actually experience it. It's indescribable, really and truly. But one of, if not the best experience of my life, and Anson, literally one of the greatest coaches I've ever played for.
What was the transition like from the youth game to the college game, and how difficult was it for you?
Extremely difficult. You know, growing up in the youth system, you know, I was a top 20 player coming out of high school. So, you know, coming into college with that confidence, thinking, oh, you're one of the best, and then you come up and play with players like Kaylee Ojai, who I play with, with the Dash, and Crystal Dunn and Amber Brooks as well, too. You know, you have girls that you're playing with that are just as good, if not better than you. And the transition my freshman year was really difficult. You know, I came in, I started, by the end of my freshman year, I lost my starting position. So, you know, from the spring of my freshman year into that summer of my sophomore year, it was something that I had to work on. I had to kind of, it was a humbling experience more than anything else. But you learn and you grow from it, and you grow not only as a player, but you grow as a person.
Satara Murray joining us. She's a defender for the Houston Dash. The Dash are in action Friday night. So this is a great weekend for soccer. Friday night, you got the Dash against Reign FC. That's also on ESPN. I urge you to go down to the stadium, though. And then you turn around on Saturday, you have the Dynamo Chicago Fire and the legendary Bastian Schweinsteiger coming here to Houston. How important is Friday night for you guys right now? You sit six in the table out of the nine teams. The top four make the playoffs. You got to parlay this 3 points against Sky Blue into six, right?
Yes, most definitely. We knew, obviously, with the schedule being as hectic as it has been, you know, four games in 13 days, that's almost unbearable. But some way, somehow, we're pulling through. And, you know, those 3 points against Sky Blue on Sunday were crucial. And we know the points on Friday against Seattle, it's going to be extremely important. But it's something that we're just taking it step by step. You know, we go back into practice tomorrow, and, you know, we're not trying to put as much pressure on ourselves as I think people are expecting it to, you know, expecting us to be, but we just kind of have to take it one day at a time. Reign FC, they're obviously a really good side, and, you know, with some returning national team players from the World Cup, it's going to be a difficult game, but it's not something that we haven't ever come up against.
What type of team are they tactically, Reign FC?
Very direct in a way. They have a lot of speed up top, you know, with Jody Taylor coming back, you know, playing for England, you know, Shea Grimm. They're very, very quick up top. I like to go direct. So it's something that we have to be aware of. But we've now played them twice, and getting a draw against them both, now it's time for us to get a win against them.
And then what about the Dash playing style of James Clarkson? How would you describe it?
It's a mix of everything. It's a mix of the direct and indirect game, in my opinion. James has emphasis on possession, but he also has emphasis on when we need to go direct, we can go direct. And I think that's what I think we appreciate the most. There's a difference. It's not just one style. It's kind of a different an array of different styles. So, and I think it fits in with the personnel that we have in on the team. So it suits everybody perfectly.
Well, you have players with pace up front, and of course,
most definitely.
You get Rachel Daly back, she gets you that important game winner against Sky Blue. How important is she for the team? Now, look, when I look at the Houston Dynamo, it's a different team without Ramel Kyoto and Albert Delise. Is that the same with Rachel Daly when she's not around with the Houston Dash?
In a way, yeah.
And I don't mean that. There's nothing derogatory about that. It's fact.
Exactly. No disrespect to anybody else on the team, but Rachel, she is a force to be reckoned with. She's Rachel Daly. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, she brings something a lot different than a lot of players, not only on our team, but in the league bring. So, you know, having her back, obviously, is a huge, huge thing for us. And as you can see, she gave us those 3 points by getting that spectacular goal. So you got to give it to her.
Satara, can you sit through a commercial break here?
Definitely.
Can we do that with you? We'll talk more Dash when we come back with Satara Murray. Having a great time out here. Davey Arno will be coming up shortly here in the second hour as well. We got an interview with new Austin FC coach Josh Wolf. As we take a break here, just a reminder here, this show is brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, they are presenting sponsors. They're bilingual, 713-322-HURT. So if you get in the motorcycle, car, and believe me, with the storm that's going on outside here, somebody's getting in a fender bender here tonight, so be careful if you're out on the roads. But again, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need. DaspitLaw.com. We'll take a break from the one and only Pacific Coast Tacos in Sugar Land.
Hearts Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.